the original question was like, how did you get into all this, you know, social media, all that good stuff? And it really started from the days of childhood, right? Like learning and creating cameras. I would bring a camera to school, like one of those old school, like four phones. Yeah, I would bring a camera to school and I would video things. I'd make spy movies with my friends. So, you know, there was always like a deep love for video that I've had for years and years and years.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solenox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in. Welcome to the AI Advantage. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. We have a special guest in here today. We have David Feynman. He's the founder of Viral Ideas. So David, thank you so much for coming out to the show, man. Glad to have you. Can you just tell a little bit about the audience, about who you are and, you know, what is Viral Ideas?
Solomon, first, thank you so much for having me on the show. Really excited to be here. A little bit about me is I'm Dave Feynman. I'm one of the co-founders of Viral Ideas. We do video editing for companies. And I actually originally started this around 11 years ago, right after college. And originally, I was going to get a job at Google. I was interviewing to go get a job there. And I got to my second or third round of interviews there. And I realized that working at a company and working for someone was not for me, and decided to go out on my own and start a business right after school. And the rest is history, you know, 11 years later, and I still have that same business.
That's great, man. So what is, so, you know, coming going forward, because you kind of got out, and even us talking a little bit about your history, even with Google, you know, coming forward, that's even a big, but what inspired you to have from like Viral Ideas? What's the core statement or what you're trying to provide the value?
Our core value in the business and what we aim to do every single day is to simplify the video creation process. So holistically, creating a video has been a very, very complicated process, like from start to end, from pre-production all the way to the end of the process. And we really worked at Viral Ideas to compress and simplify the process by using technology, processes, humans, and really like speaking towards like, you know, a typical manufacturing process. Like they're always trying to make things simpler. You know, in our process for creating videos, we view it as manufacturing. So, you know, we're viewing it as how can we take that process in creating a video from start to finish, compress it, make it simpler for the end user of the process.
You know, and I'm thinking of it in terms of just on a level, I'm sure with the explosion of video, of now content creation from social media to now podcasts, now that everyone has their own media platform of wanting to get their message out. So I'm sure in terms of branding now, and it is even more important than ever before. So like, you know, I'm just curious on the start forward of that, from that journey from you, were you always into like videography? Like, were you always already into the social media side of going forward?
So when I was a kid, I was actually in this program called CineKid. And it was this program for kids like under 15 years old that would get together and you would make movies together. So it was this old Hollywood retired director named Bob Clark in my local community. And he actually built out a full film set in this, basically this giant warehouse building. So in the building, they had all these like sound stages and labs. And it was old school back then, right? Like we're talking, you know, coming up on around 25-ish years ago that I was in this program. And, you know, they had editing bays where they had like two different tapes that would go into like one, you know, one final tape. So the editing wasn't like digital. It was analog. And they had one editing bay that was like the newest at the time form of digital editing. And I remember like it would be a bunch of us get together. We would make these movies. We would make these TV shows. Yeah. And we learned about like the world of production through that. And my claim to fame, so you will, like in the program was I always shot behind the scenes footage. And I always found the behind the scenes of things really fascinating. Like how do things come together? What are the technological moving pieces that become like the architect of creating it? So, and that later kind of translated to me being an entrepreneur today, right? Like it was, I view myself as almost like an architect, right? Like I'm putting the pieces in place so that something can function, this sort of system can function together. And I work, you know, while I work and manage the company on the day-to-day, I still am working behind the scenes to archetype and change things on a day-to-day. But the original question was like, how did you get into all this, you know, social media, all that good stuff? And it really started from the days of childhood, right? Like learning and creating cameras. I would bring a camera to school, like one of those old school, like four phones. Yeah, I would bring a camera to school and I would video things. I'd make spy movies with my friends. So, you know, there was always like a deep love for video that I've had for years and years and years.
So from the side of it, I'm just going through, I'm like so curious on the evolution of it, right? So, you know, with going through, because a lot of people, even for myself, of coming through and just starting this, you know, you think you need all of this from videographer, you need like their old school cameras. And now as technology's evolved, you can just, as long as you have a stand, like even an iPhone can build out a great, you know, picture of it. So going through this side, especially when you're working more on businesses, you know, what have you seen just throughout that is like the core, like what you've helped with to help, you know, what some people may not think it might be easier to build out? Because I'm sure you have to think of, you know, how the right way to say it for their consumers, you know, the branding image. I'm sure there's so much of, as you said, the architecting of what goes involved to make sure that you produce that output. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think from an equipment perspective, the simplicity of it has changed a lot. Like the cameras I remember using when I was like 9 years old were like over shoulder, like you would put them on your shoulder. Like they were big, 15-pound heavy cameras. And it was cool. It was fun. But as time evolves, like that level of quality is maybe a 1/10 of what you can now get from a phone, right? So, you know, it's really democratized the ability for people to create. Like anyone with an iPhone or anyone with a decent, halfway decent phone, Android too, right. Although I am team iPhone, you know, feel free to have a debate in the comment section about that one.
No, right.
I don't mean to start a war on your podcast comment section.
I'm Android too, so I'm fine. It's all good.
But in any event, with an iPhone or an Android, you can create from nothing, right? Right. You know, I think that has created an ecosystem where anyone could be a creator, right? In businesses and a lot of the companies that we work with, a lot of times they used to have all these big fancy setups just to get something quality. And now it's just a lot of times an iPhone. And I always recommend to people just getting started, like they ask, hey, do I have to buy a nice camera? I was like, sure, it's nice to have one and they're great, but they're also hard to use, right? Like a DSLR camera is like a difficult piece of equipment to use. Your iPhone, you know how to use it. You click the button on the side and you're filming in 2 seconds. So like, don't overcomplicate what is now simple is what I always like to talk to people about.
Yeah, no, you get so much. And even as a, you know, entrepreneur, just with anyone that is looking to jumpstart, whether it's solopreneuring or a consulting or either in an enterprise level, there's a lot of analysis paralysis, right? Of like going through, and as you said, it's so simple, just starting up the camera, but there's, you know, you evolve as you go through. So, you know, with your role now of kind of going through, you know, so many years and your experience of it, like, what does it look like in your role now as a founder and, you know, how it fits into the big picture at the company? You know, what does a typical day look like for you with having to deal with so many other, you know, clients and looking to expand that?
Yeah, I think talking about this in evolutions is like the best is the best way to do it, right? Because as a founder, your role evolves over time. So, for example, like, you know, when I was first starting, it was me and my business partner, and I would go sell something, and then he would go deliver it. And that was our relationship, right? Like, you know, and that continued, right? Like, it continued for a while, and then we eventually hired our first intern, right? Really scary. It's like, how are we going to afford this $10 an hour person, right? Like we didn't know. And all of a sudden that person started to take some of the workload off. Over time, you really evolve your schedule from a doer's schedule, a maker's schedule, which a maker's schedule is almost completely blank, right? Like you have all day to work on things, right? Like, so a lot of the editors in my company, they're makers. And over time, my calendar is more of a maker's schedule or a manager's schedule where I am spending, you know, time in meetings all day, right? I have blocks where I'll spend time making something, like, right? Like this week we have an all hands meeting. So I'm making that environment, I'm making that, and I'm crafting the message I want to share with our 45 employees and, you know, talk to them about that. But, you know, that over time your schedule just changes from working, like actually doing the work yourself, to working through people. And anymore, you know, I have my 5 direct reports in the company, and those 5 direct reports like run the rest of the business for me. So it's really like the how I spend my time is really evolved. But at the core, you know, today, you know, I spend most of my time on leadership or sales, right? Like selling something, right? Selling an idea of something, you know, working with someone to sell something, or I spend my time with people. And over time, you know, it will get to the point where even the sale is going to be something that, you know, is not going to be something that is valuable for me to spend time on, because I get the most possible leverage from a leadership activity versus a direct activity in the business. And it's hard to fathom, because over time, the amount of time it takes to create a sale decreases, right? So, you know, that like that 1 hour could result in thousands of dollars in income. But, you know, over time, like, you know, if you have a large enough company, like the like other people doing that becomes more of a leverage point than you doing it.
Right. I feel like it's so fascinating, man, because it's just on the level of, even just if you look back, I'm sure, you know, with yourself and even with me, just kind of starting through this journey, just of like how you evolve. And as you said, you don't want to manage folks, but as you get higher, bring on the right people, the team, and now leadership matters and sales, as you said. But as you go forward, further up, it's not what I expected when I first started, when you first start through as an entrepreneur in the trenches. You know, I really love that. And what would you say in terms of kind of like how I kind of coined the term here on the show is like those rocky moments of like, where was that challenge that you've had like with Viral Digis and how you overcame that? And Victor, was there a catalyst point to it, or was it just going through the journey for you? Was it just consistency?
No, it definitely is not a straight line up, right? Businesses, I think, often grow is like you see a lot of like publicized like that hockey stick growth, right? Or even linear growth. But in reality, I think most businesses grow in step functions. So they grow a little bit, they end up in a plateau for a bit, and then they need to unlock or unblock something in the business or make an outside investment in something relative to what they're currently making to get to that next level. And then they get to that next level and they get stuck again. And then like that's kind of what we've experienced is a bit of that. And we've had a couple crashes along the way too, right? Like, you know, a lot of times like you'll make a mistake, right? Like in the past, I used to pay down a lot of ignorance tax with time, and now I pay it down with dollars, right? So what I mean by that is you're all, no matter what level you get to, once you get to that new level, you now have new ignorance tax, because that new level means that you're going to have to operate the business in a different way. So, yes. You know, at the level that I'm at, you know, I have ignorance tax of how to get to that next level. And I need to work with consultants and coaches and people that have already been there so that I can pay down that ignorance tax to get to the next level. And, you know, I read a lot of books, that helps a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts, that helps a lot. But I think at the end of the day, as you're growing, like a misstep might cause you to take two steps forward, but you'll eventually strengthen something. So for me, like a real story of this is like, you know, a few years back, we almost lost everything in our business by with making a investment error, right? And it was an investment error in a person, right? That didn't work out well. And we thought we had mitigated our risk with that, but we didn't. And it caused our revenue to drop 80% in the course of about 2 weeks. We lost almost all of our revenue. What was funny is like we were able to get back to that revenue within 18 months, like, because we knew how to do it, right? We knew the playbook. It was just a matter of like overcoming our own psychology of taking those. For us, it wasn't two steps back. It was like 10 steps back for us to be like, okay, we now need to go back to step one and rebuild, you know, step 2 through 10. Right. And we knew how to do it. It just is like, okay, are we going to now invest that time in it? And like, the question is like, do you want to take that choice or do you not want to take that choice?
And that's an amazing story, because it's just of what to go through of that to, you know, to scale through. And I can only imagine like the psychology you've talking with your partners and so forth. So that's amazing that you guys came out of that and, you know, pushed through that ceiling from that. Like, I'm sure that was nerve wracking on that, you know, understanding the history and so forth. That's getting to, I'm really curious on talking to you, what you're seeing on the trends right now, the industry trends, especially with AI. And so what are you seeing, David, like in terms of the major shifts now in the industry? I'm sure there's a lot with, hey, there's so many aspects, but what are you seeing that's really impacting businesses, and especially even from a growth strategy perspective?
Yeah. Well, before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about the foundation level, right? Yeah, like, yeah. So I think a lot of people forget, like, okay, AI is a really trendy buzzword, but in reality, it's an increase in overall productivity. And it's the ability for you to potentially increase your productivity in the market, right? Like, some people use it and doesn't do anything for them, which we'll get into in a second. But, you know, one of my favorite, like, business fable stories is, it's about this town, and this town has 100 people in it, right? And, you know, within that town, there are every single person, they live on the water, right? And every single person in that town requires a single fish to survive every day, right? So that's what this town eats. Like, their source of food is fish. And, you know, the town is not very sophisticated, right? So every single day, every single person grabs a fishing spear or fishing rod, goes out, fishes a single fish, goes home, and, you know, cooks that fish and creates that meal. One day, there's a man in the town, and he goes and he creates a little cage that sits at the bottom of the water. And that cage is able to collect 30 fish per day, right? So what happens, right? What happens is that now three people in the town can create all of the food for every single person in the town because he was able to innovate with a piece of technology, right? And what happened, you know, did everyone lose their job of fishermen through the day? No, what was starting to happen in that town was, you know, the one guy decided, okay, I'm not the best fisherman, but I'm really good at cooking the fish. So one guy in that town started preparing all the fish for Paul, and someone became his assistant, right? Someone became that person's assistant. And someone else in the town said, hey, I'm really good at taking care of the sick people in the town. You know, normally you had to do that on your own, but, you know, I have medical knowledge. And she became the town doctor, right? And, you know, the story goes on to say that, like, everyone sort of found their place in the town, right? You know, there was someone that took care of the children. There was someone that started to raise animals. And now they had new sources of food in the town. And the whole idea is that when innovation happens, productivity increases, right? The amount we can create and the betterment of our lives goes up, right? And I look at AI, like there hasn't been in history, if you go back and look at the summary of history and like what inventions were like really landmark inventions in history, right? Like, you know, you went through the Industrial Revolution, you went through the digital age, right? And now you're going, you know, the internet came into play. And now you have really the creation and the birth of an artificial intelligence that's being installed into robotics and really changing our lives. So at the end of the day, I just look at like both that story and I look at history. I say, okay, like history is just repeating itself. We are now having a piece of technology that is more advanced than all of the previous technologies, and it has the power to disrupt our current market. And I view that as a good thing. Because at the end of the day, every time in history that we've gone through these evolutions, life has historically gotten better for those living in that current period of time. And if you go back in time, 300 years, 200 years, life was not great. The amount of people that died like right after birth was like really high. And, you know, and the number of people that, you know, like lived past 30 was not very high. So like the further you go back in history, like the in my opinion, like holistically, the worse life was, right? And the closer to today you get, the better life has gotten because of increases in measured productivity. And that's one you could probably fight me on the comment section as well if you'd like. But I'm just trying to start fighting your comment section because it'll be great for engagement.
I know, of course. I'd like to get more engagement.
So at the end of the day, your question was like, how are you using AI? The answer is, of course, we're using AI, right? Like it's a new modern piece of technology that is able to increase the productivity per unit of time for what we're doing, right? I don't view it as a trend so much as almost like a seismic shift in the way where things are done. Like it's the next industrial revolution. It's the next, you know, web 2.0, web 3.0. This is the next part of evolution of technology.
Yeah, I think it is up to this point of it. And I think that, you know, as you said, there's a buzzword, you get people on the right that's very interested, that's saying this is great. And then there are people on the left that's worried about taking the jobs. And I do feel like there's in the middle, right? And even with our business, you know, even at Solinox, it's like now you have to think of in terms of just how we work with mid-market company. Like we have to think of the strategy. There's so much more than just what it is. We have to implement, you know, the strategy behind the governance, because, you know, working with the cloud technology of like, if you're utilizing for Copilot, for example, putting it into your, are you using Salesforce? Are you using Dynamics 365 for your CRM? How are you integrating that? What's the data like? There are so many foundational steps, compliance of security, integration with your team and so forth of how to be utilized the workflows. And I feel like now obviously people understand that it's not a simple switch, but there's so much, as to you said, there's so much background that needs to be established to lay a proper foundation for it to be used effectively. So, you know, I'm glad we're definitely on the same page in that aspect. So, you know, with it in terms of else, like with the use of it, what has been working well right now with viral ideas? Like where you are right now, like what's been really working well? What's been frustrating as you get through to that next level?
So for us, like we've hired over the years hundreds of video editors. And actually for your audience, I have this guide called How to Hire a Video Editor That Doesn't Suck. And if you Instagram DM me at David Feynman with code Solomon, if you say Solomon Podcast, I'll send you this guide. Yeah, and long story short is, you know, our philosophy is AI plus humans equals increased output. So what we've been doing internally is we've been generating and creating new tools that are able to enhance the productivity and quality and usefulness of our editors. So we've been doing this over time, and what it's been able to do is really improve what we've been able to do with like a single hour of time, you know, in our business. And I think at the end of the day, for us in this moment, it's improving the processes, automating the processes. In the past, where we used to maybe have, you know, a normal workflow, right? Like if you ever, for the audience that hasn't like opened up any of these workflows, like usually in a typical workflow, like you have some sort of input at the start of it, right? And then like the piece of software will look at it and be like, if this happens, then we'll send it to here. If that happens, then we'll send it there. There's a bunch of like codified statements in the process that goes after that. And then you jump to the next step of the process and maybe you'll need a human to determine something. And now we can have an AI piece of like an AI brain that can determine something. Like you don't need to have a human stop in that step in the process. You know, we're really optimizing it around human, like human inputs and human outputs, but we're injecting sort of this brain into the mix that is able to like make creative decision-making tactics. It's able to create scripts. It's able to create ideas. It's able to proofread videos, like all that good stuff that used to take humans a lot of time in our business is now being done with the piece of technology that we created.
Right. And I think like to the fact of it, because of, you know, I really like that aspect because it helps so much of being a brainstormer. It helps you to like, as long as you just put in the right prompt, then that goes into prompt engineering and putting the right data into it. But it's amazing on, have you kind of figured out over the time of where you've kind of cultivated your, like at the style of how to work with the editing, how to work with the creative, or has it all been into one mesh that you've created? Yeah. Does that make sense?
With AI, we're almost creating one centralized viral ideas brain.
Got it.
That like encompasses all of our learnings from all of the different videos. Because we've created, you know, in the past 5 years, we've created 50,000 videos. We create another 1,000 every week. So that's a lot of data that we're processing, right? And it's a lot of client briefs and it's a lot of edits that happened on round two. So like in our business, we want to get as like the hardest thing in our business is how do you determine what's in someone's head? Right? For like what creation they're thinking of. And how do you put that down in a video that makes sense, right? That's the hardest thing we could do. So our goal is to try to get that and as close to a version one as we can, right? So, you know, what we're doing with AI is helping to compress, you know, from a version three to a version one.
Okay. That makes sense on that side. So with it on that side, that's the most focused on that. Is that like the biggest metric that you guys are looking more for? Is just compressing that into the time, or is just evolving that, or would it be something else to the side?
Well, we track in our business is probably not too dissimilar to a lot of businesses, right? Like net promoter score. We're constantly asking our clients like, hey, did this video meet your satisfaction needs? Like all that good stuff. You know, we're working with clients determine like, hey, is this a quality video? Does this meet the need and the goal of your campaign was for, right? Is this a marketing campaign? Is this an awareness campaign? Are you just trying to educate your customers on something? So like, we're always trying to match what we're doing with the client's goals. And if that jives well, then we'll have a client for life. If it doesn't jive well, then clients tend to churn.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, with that and everything, where do you see in the next kind of couple of years? I'm really curious because even with how videos that are coming forward with so much, it's being so prominent now. Where do you see the industry in the next 2 years and so forth with this as it evolves?
Yeah. For me, I see creatives partnering with AI to create better than ever before. Just think about it from a tool perspective, right? If you were to give me a paintbrush, right, I am not going to be able to create like a famous artist, right? I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, but you know, think of like, Salvador Dali or, you know, I think Michelangelo was a sculptor, but I think he also painted too. But I wouldn't be able to create in the same way that person would create, even with the same tool. Like I got the same tool, same paintbrush, same paints, same everything. My painting is not going to turn out as good as that person. And the same thing is true for digital creatives, right? Like someone who's creating something with tools, right? Like you will not be able to create as well with the tools that are out there as the editors that we have. And we have trainings and knowledge and a brain baked into it. So like what I see is like these tools are enhancing the already good at the job, right? Like, and if you're okay at the job, it makes you better at the job, right? Like, you know, which is something that I'm noticing. But I think at the end of the day, like the tools are just making people that are already good even better.
Yeah. And I think it really helps to like expand out. I think one of the biggest things is you're able to, you know, even with the AI, there's a lot of enablement because it's a yes man, so to speak. So you have to get that consultation. But I really believe like you've hit the nail on the head. It really helps to provide that vision that helps it with the creative ideas, right? Of having that soundboard and effectively to that to help build as to your story of it, of the fisherman bringing forward to help provide those services. You know, I'm real curious, man, like in just terms of with Viral Ideas, because it's so much that you've scaled up and, you know, with telling so many editors and how you're even with yourself, right, of the leadership where you're going, where do you see Viral Ideas? Like, where would you like to have it in the next 6 to 12 months? You know, what will be that major challenge that you want to like solve that?
The biggest thing for our 2026 is to incorporate more technology into what we do every single day. You know, it's giving our people the ability to be superhuman in what they do with technology. We're not looking to replace people. You know, we're not looking to get rid of our whole staff or replace, you know, like do a 20% staff reduction because of AI. We're looking to enhance what our people could do already. So we know if we could do that, our customers will be happier. Our people will be happier because they'll be able to do more with less, right? Like that's always such a good feeling. It's like a leverage point. Like if you're standing there with a lever, right? And you're using it in the right way, you can lift or a pulley or like any of those things that we learned in science class, right? All those good stuff, like it's just physics. If you're able to like lift more with less, like you feel like superhuman. And we want all our people to feel like superhuman next year, right? Because the technology is here. We just need to learn how to adopt it. And I think that's one of the key differentiators. Like, and a lot of people say, oh, just use AI, just do this. Like, it's not just that. It's adopting it. It's working into your processes in a way that actually makes sense for business context, right? Like it's not enough to make like a little tool on the side that does this. You know, it's about adopting it into your workflow on a day-to-day basis that I think really makes a huge difference.
That's the key part is not reinventing the wheel, so to speak, but how do we in phases build that into the roadmap and how do we effectively utilize it? So absolutely, man. I really had it. I loved it on the side. You know, I always ask folks that are come on if for, let's say, you know, ChatGPT-8 or even, you know, ChatGPT has so many the competitors of Gemini, the three and with Claude now coming out. What do you see essentially if you had a magic wand AI to do either with Viral Ideas or on your personal side, if you had a magic wand, what would it be for?
Well, that's a great question. I think I am really excited for the Tesla robot to come out and clean my house. Right? Like, I think one of the largest pain points in my life right now is is you just have this like running list of stuff to do in your house, right? Yeah. And it's like even if you were to have someone like come to your house every day, right? Which would kind of be annoying, right? Like if you had someone like come to your house and help you every day, you know, there's still more. You're always creating more laundry. You're always creating more dishes. Like it's a never ending cycle of that. And I think having that, I think it's called Optimus is the Tesla robot. It's like, I'm really excited for that intersection of like robotics and AI to come together. And, you know, to like buy a Optimus robot that like sits downstairs and hopefully doesn't kill me in my sleep, you know, like, but I'm really excited for that. And then I'm also really excited in my business. I'm excited for the ability for my employees to become superhuman with AI.
Yeah. I don't know. It's amazing that we've even gotten to this step of where it's now. I even saw, cause you know, I'm here in Atlanta just seeing, I remember it was on one of the parks that you saw one of the robots playing soccer with one of the kids. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm here in the time frame where I'm watching a human or robot play soccer with a child. But to your point as well, I really absolutely agree with you, man, is in terms of how to leverage AI to help benefit our team, you know, everyone to get to the next goal and help them to inspire to automate those repetitive tasks, to help them to think more on how can I expand further in the role? How can I be more of a benefit to make them, again, to your point, superhuman to the side, whether it's your editors or, you know, or to the videographers and so forth else. No, man, this is great. I really appreciate the time having you here, David, because it's always so interesting to really look at it from the videographer, from the content creation. I always see there's so many, as you said, architecting of so many steps beforehand. So thanks for coming on. For those that are wanting to learn more about Viral Ideas, to learn more about, you know, David, I know you had brought up your Instagram earlier in the call, but, you know, how can people find you? Where can they learn more?
Yeah, the best way you can learn about my company is our website is viralideamarketing.com. And then if you want to reach out to me personally, my Instagram is @DavidFeynman. Again, I like I mentioned earlier in the call, I have a free gift for Yaron and Solomon. They just have to reach out to me, Solomon Podcast, like follow me there and then reach out and I'll send you over a guide to how to hire a video editor that doesn't suck.
Perfect, man. No, thanks for coming on. For the audience, thanks so much for tuning in. You'll see all of what David had in the show notes. So we'll catch you next time on the next episode of AI Advantage. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at solonox.net.